Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 5. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed the concept of mentorship, the ancient tradition of brilliance and self-mastery. Mentors are trailblazers and often create their own school, academy, or system to promote their educational method. Current examples that come to mind in our industry are Paul Cech, Michael Colgan, and Andre Potvin. Each one of these individuals operate and manage their own schools and institutes, which they started from scratch and built themselves, with nothing more than their own unborrowed vision, burning desire, and creative genius. Mentors teach by example and introduce their students to principles and ideas over time in a controlled and functional manner. Less emphasis is placed on how long it takes for the student to graduate. Initially, more emphasis is given to the student than the program, because the mentor knows that each student is an individual and can only adapt to new ideas and new information at their own specific rate and time. Mentoring has incredible merit, but sadly, and not surprisingly, it has been dropped by the conventional education system in favor of educating great numbers of students in less time for convenience and greater profit. Volume, as opposed to quality, dominates that particular methodology. In the documentary movie Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take?, host and writer Foster Gamble states, "What the captains of industry wanted from our schools was an obedient and docile workforce who would be manageable employees and eager consumers." And here's what John Gatto, New York State Teacher of the Year and author of The Underground History of American Education, has to say. "Schools are to establish fixed habits of response to authority. That's why it takes 12 years. You're to respond reflexively when anyone in a position of authority tells you what to do." So when a free-thinking student enrolls in my mentorship program, we train in the gym together as full-fledged and equal partners. It's based on a system of egalitarianism, which means everyone is treated equally with respect. Everybody has a vote. Everybody gets to express their point of view. We're there to learn and grow and share. "I lead the way, but also follow. Do as I do is my motto. Then I do as they do." And eventually we both lose track of who's leading who, and it all works out to such a harmonious, positive experience. After watching me execute the exercise correctly, especially with intensity, it's much easier for a student to do the same, especially with me right there watching their technique and body position. The whole idea is to transfer knowledge, personal power, and motivation from one individual to another. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 20, sleep and rest. Sleep and rest are as important to health and life as air, food, and water. And in the same way, these things are essential to our ability to flourish, perform well, and survive. Sleep and rest, if not managed well or eliminated completely, will lead to our eventual demise. Point in mind, in the 91st episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, the Enterprise locates a missing Federation ship called the Britain. The ship is derelict and all the crew are dead except one, the ship's Betazoid science officer. Upon investigation, Dr. Crusher determines that all of Britain's crew died at each other's hands. But why? Soon after making contact with the Britain, the crew of the Enterprise starts showing signs of irritability and experience strange hallucinations. Sound familiar? No one on the Enterprise can achieve REM, REM sleep, and soon violence begins to erupt around the ship. Captain Picard assigns Data, who does not sleep or dream and is therefore unaffected, as acting captain. Eventually, Data finds the solution and saves the crew from the influence of an alien ship and a spatial phenomenon known as the Tychon's Rift. What I love about Star Trek is that the writers and producers consult with engineers, physicists, biologists, and medical experts to make the show as real as possible, keeping in mind that it is set in one possible future in the year 2364, and after all, Star Trek is science fiction. But what is deemed science fiction today is often revered as fact and science tomorrow. In my first book, Recipe for Health, I devoted 10 chapters to the achievement of optimum health, each one of which is a principle or step to take towards true health and wellness. In Chapter 9, titled Adequate Rest and Sleep, I begin with a quote from Paracelsus. Man is ill because he is never still. That's such a good quote, and it's as true today as it was back then. There's so much burnout, anxiety, and tension in people today. Too much mental stimulation and not enough physical release, physical training, exercise, relaxation, meditation, and of course, rest. Paracelsus, by the way, was born in 1493. He was a Swiss-German Renaissance physician and botanist who founded the discipline of toxicology. He is also credited for giving zinc its name and was one of the first in his time to hypothesize that some diseases are rooted in our minds and inner psychology. I mean, imagine that. That was state-of-the-art thinking at the time. So I will now read Chapter 9 from my book, Recipe for Health, Adequate Rest and Sleep. Rest and sleep are great healers. Sufficient downtime regenerates every cell in the body, helps clear emotional conflict, and sorts and files data obtained during daylight hours. At rest, we assimilate nutrients and eliminate toxins. Cortisol, the muscle-wasting hormone that elevates in response to stress, decreases. Resting also helps all of us to think, work, and train at our peak. Without sleep, the brain functions like an enormous library with all of its books scattered about the floor without discretion instead of being neatly organized on labeled shelves. A good, undisturbed sleep each night with the bedroom window open if possible is one of the best things we can do for our health, recovery, and complete regeneration of the nervous system. However, the vast majority of us tend to push the envelope when it comes to sleep. We stay up late working or watching TV. And the problem with such common nocturnal habits is that they rob the body of the time it needs to cleanse, detoxify, repair, and rejuvenate. Thus, we end up with a chronic sleep debt. The body can endure deficiency of sleep and rest for only so long, but it does eventually catch up with us. Sleep deprivation increases free radical activity, increases risk of infection and illness, and is associated with premature biological aging, fatigue, and muddled thinking. What is the optimum amount of sleep? It actually varies considerably from one person to another and depends on age, gender, stress levels, and physical workload. Our evolutionary pattern suggests 8 to 9 hours of sleep as an ideal figure. I find 7 hours works best for me, seven and a half, coupled with a 20-minute power nap or meditation period in the mid-afternoon. In Greece and Mexico, siesta time is a way of life. Plenty of evidence suggests that employees are less prone to injury and error when given the opportunity to rest horizontally for 20 to 30 minutes each day at approximately 3 to 4 p.m. Can't get a good night's sleep? Avoid stimulants and reduce anxiety, worry, and mental stress through exercise. Incorporate nutrition, meditation, and relaxation therapy. Avoid the use of over-the-counter and prescription drugs as a treatment for insomnia, or you put yourself at high risk for addiction. Antihistamines and benzodiazepines have numerous side effects, including suppression of REM sleep, nightmares, impaired coordination, headache, and depression. But more importantly, they do not treat the cause of insomnia. There are many well-known and proven natural sleep remedies that enhance the quality of your sleep, such as tryptophan, melatonin, valerian, St. John's wort, and passionflower. Other successful remedies include homeopathic preparations, Chinese herbs, Bach flower therapies, calcium and magnesium, niacin, inositol, chromium, massage, music, and a warm bath. Don't be afraid to take a 20 to 30 minute refresher nap in the afternoon or on a lunch break, especially if your nerves are fried due to the stress of your current life situation, such as divorce, separation, financial worry, problems with teenagers, betrayal, sick children, insecurity, loneliness, a recent diagnosis of cancer in the family, things like that. Just remember that sleep is a restorative process that serves to replenish the body, and with sufficient sleep, growth hormone is released, which aids in recovery from strenuous exercise. You don't repair, strengthen, and grow in the gym, in the pool, on the track, or at work. You repair, strengthen, and grow only when your brain switches from a conscious state into the mysterious realm of unconsciousness as the sun comes up on the other side of the world. Sleep disorders are epidemic in this country. About 40% of Canadians experience insomnia as a way of life. Based on my clinical experience, I would say that up to 90 to 95% of adults do not have a good, decent sleep most of the time. The wherefore and the why for this state of affairs ranges from things like anxiety, depression, food intolerance, excessive use of stimulants such as nicotine and caffeine and prescription drugs, to thyroid problems, jet lag, excess prolactin, lack of exercise, electromagnetic fields, deficiency of natural light, overeating prior to bedtime, and nocturnal hypoglycemia. So there you go. And one more thing. Don't fight it. Don't wrestle with Mother Nature if you don't have to, because she will always win. She'll always pin you down. She'll always defeat you. Sleep is essential to our existence, whether you like it or not. Make it a priority. The secret is to submit to the forces that control us and dictate our outcome. We must accept what we cannot change. In the old days, we would often stay up late watching a movie or favorite TV show. We knew we would miss out on sleep and feel tired all day at work the next day, but if you wanted to see your show from beginning to end, you had to watch it whenever it was on. Well, today we have VCRs, DirecTV, and time shift technology. Now we can record a movie or show in advance or even during the broadcast. And if we need to go to bed, we can, because we know we can watch the rest of the show the next night or whenever it's convenient. The key is to know your limit and stay within it. Get your sleep and take a nap if you feel tired. If you're driving a vehicle and feel drowsy at the wheel, pull over immediately. Close your eyes for 5 minutes and just relax. Give your body what it needs and is crying out for. Don't ignore the signs. In the U.S. alone, an estimated 1,500 deaths per year are directly attributed to driver fatigue. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from E.M. Forster, English novelist, best known for his novels Howard's End, A Room with a View, and A Passage to India. The main facts in human life are five: birth, food, sleep, love, and death.